could be the name of your favorite city or restaurant. And as you focus upon the name or title that you have written, ask yourself these questions. What do I like about you? Why do I love you so much? What are your positive aspects? Then, gently and easily, begin writing down the thoughts that come to you in response to your questions. Do not try to force these ideas, but let them flow easily through you onto your paper. Write as long as the thoughts flow, and then read what you have written and enjoy your own words. Now, turn to the next page and write another name or title of someone or something that you feel good about, and then repeat the process until your 20 minutes has passed. You may discover, even during the first sitting, that you will have managed to activate within yourself such a powerful vibration of appreciation and well-being that ideas or other names or titles for your book of positive aspects will continue to flow to you, and when they do, take the time, if you can, to enter those titles at the top of other pages in your book. If you feel you have the time to ask the questions, what do I like about you, why do I love you so much, and what are your positive aspects, then do so at that time. If not, wait until tomorrow, when you will begin the process again. The more positive aspects you search for, the more you are going to find, and the more positive aspects you find, the more you will search for. In the process, you will activate within yourself a high vibration of well-being, which matches who you really are, and you will feel wonderful. And even better, this vibration will become so practiced that it will become your dominant vibration, and all aspects of your experience will now begin to reflect this higher vibration. As soon as your notebook is filled, you will probably find yourself eager to purchase another and another, for there is a true power of focus in the experience of writing, and there is a true power of connecting to your own source energy in the experience of writing things that feel good when you write them down. The benefits of this process will be many. You will feel wonderful during the process. Your point of attraction will continue to improve no matter how good it is now. Your relationship with each subject that you write about will become richer and more satisfying, and the law of attraction will deliver even more wonderful people, places, experiences, and things for you to enjoy. Abraham, speak to us more about the Book of Positive Aspects. Imagine a beautiful city, not a big city, but a perfect city. The traffic flows nicely. There are beautiful points of interest. Living and working in this city is a wonderful experience. As you think about this city as we have described it to you, you may be thinking, I could live there happily ever after. Oh, but there's one little thing we forgot to mention. There is a very deep pothole on 6th Avenue. Now, if you were to focus on the positive aspects of this city, it is our expectation that if you were to live in this city, you would live happily ever after. Most people have not been introduced to their life by someone who was pointing out the positive aspects of it. Instead, most have been introduced more often by someone saying, "Watch out for the pothole on 6th Avenue." And so, because of the negative orientation that surrounds them, most are consumed by the pothole. Let us say that someone has been declared terminally ill. Her doctor has given her a death sentence, and yet the majority of her body, over 99% of it, is as this magical city. It is functioning well. All the arteries of traffic are working very well. It is just that because of the attention the doctor has given it, she is now giving her full attention to the pothole, until it will eventually consume her city. Remove your attention from the city's potholes. As I focus upon what I want, I feel good. If I focus upon lack of what I want, I will feel bad. So let's take it a little further. Can you focus upon more than one thing at a time? You cannot. Can you feel more than one way at a time? Can you feel good and bad at the same time? You cannot. And so it is not logical, for it certainly falls within the guidelines of the law of attraction, that if you are focusing upon what you do want, you cannot at the same time be focusing upon what you do not want. And if, when you focus upon what you want, you will feel good. And if, when you feel good, you would be in the positive mode of attraction, then would not your most important work to be to look for the positive aspects of all things, to look for the parts of all things that are uplifting you, and to get your attention off the potholes? Sometimes, when first learning about deliberate creation, our physical friends will worry. They are afraid that every negative thought they think is going to reach out into the cosmos and bring some monster into their experience. We want to ease your fear by reminding you that you are living the balance of your thought. So it requires quite a bit of thought about something before it will manifest in your experience. But as a people who have lived in a society that is predominantly oriented towards criticism and what is wrong, always wanting to face the facts, you have become those, even in your individual thoughts, who predominantly worry rather than predominantly know that all is well. We want to encourage you to give more of your attention to what makes you feel good, not something so radical that you must control every thought. Just make a decision that you will look for what you want to see. It is not a difficult decision to make, but it can make a big difference in what you bring into your experience. Give attention to what feels good. Something that is reality seems like it deserves your attention. It's true, after all, it's true. Shouldn't I document it? Shouldn't I count it? Shouldn't I make the statistics of it? Shouldn't I tell others about it? Shouldn't I warn my children about it? Shouldn't we beat the drum of these things that we do not want, because they are reality, and therefore make them more reality? And we ask, why would you do that? Why not look out into the database of creation and selectively sift the realities that you want to replicate and beat those drums? And your answer is never a good enough one. It is, we do it because it's reality. We do it because someone else did it. If we were standing in your physical shoes, we would not let the reality of something be our basis for attention. We would let the feeling vibration of it be our basis. So we would start saying to anyone who was interested in knowing what we were about, if it feels good, I give it my full attention. If it doesn't, I don't look at it at all. And you know what they'll say to you? You should face reality. So answer back, I do. I do it all the time. I've just become a more selective sifter of the reality that I face, because I've begun to discover that whatever reality I'm facing, whatever reality I'm talking about, thinking about, remembering, regurgitating, whatever reality I'm making statistics of, whatever reality I'm holding for very long in my vibration, becomes my own reality. And I've become particular about the realities that I replicate in my experience, because I've discovered that I can create reality. I can create reality. I can create reality. And I can choose the reality that I'm creating. Oh, we love saying that to you. You are creators, and you can create anything that you want. But there is a better way of saying it. You can and will create anything that you are giving your attention to. Wherever you go, you will be there too. Jerry and Esther had been giving workshops at a hotel in Austin, Texas, which seemed to regularly forget that they were coming, even though contracts had been signed and Esther had called on the day of arrival to confirm. When they got there, the sweet girl behind the desk always acted surprised, and then there was always a scurry to get things ready for their workshop. Esther said to us, maybe we should find another hotel. And we said, that is one way of going about it. But it is our expectation that wherever you go, you will take yourself with you, for you take your vibrational habits and patterns with you everywhere you go. So we told them to buy a notebook, and across the front of it, in bold letters, write, My Book of Positive Aspects, and then turn to the first page and write, Positive Aspects of South Park Hotel in Austin. So Esther began to write, It is a beautiful facility. It is well situated. Very easy access to the interstate and easy to give directions to. The parking lot is adequate and convenient. Our room is always very clean. There are many sizes of rooms, so we can accommodate whatever size group will be attending. And as she made these entries, she found herself wondering why she had ever considered finding a new hotel. In other words, her attention to the positive aspects put her in such a mode of feeling good about this hotel that it is our knowing. She cannot attract anything that is not good from that hotel. In other words, she took her attention, by virtue of her deliberate writing in this book, off the pothole. Is it inspiration or is it motivation? You can look at this in two different ways. If I do such and such, these good things will happen. Or if I don't do such and such, these bad things will happen. The first inspires you to action from a positive place. The second motivates you to action from a negative place. Your book of positive aspects will put you more and more in the position of attracting, by virtue of your inspired, positive feeling, whatever you desire. Process number 9. Scripting. When to use this process? When you are feeling good and want to add specifics to what you are creating in your life experience. When you want the thrill of identifying and writing down things you would like to experience and then seeing the universe deliver to you the details you described. When you want to consciously experience the power of your specifically focused thought. Current emotional set point range. This scripting process will be of most value to you when your emotional set point is ranging somewhere between 2, passion, and 6, hopefulness. If you are not sure what your current emotional set point is, turn back to chapter 22 and scan the categories on the emotional guidance scale. Esther turned on the television one evening and found herself immediately captivated by a movie that was well underway by the time she found it. In this movie, a seemingly unsuccessful scriptwriter was just discovering that his typewriter seemed to be magical. Each day, after he had described the scenes and written the words that the actors would speak, these same things would then come to pass in his own experience. And so, if a situation was not going the way he wanted it to, he went to his typewriter and wrote an improved version, and that scenario would then play out in his life experience. As Esther watched the movie, we said to her, "That is really the way it always works. As you focus clearly upon things you desire and hold no contradictory vibration that causes resistance, whatever you desire must be. For when you ask, it is always given, every time, with no exceptions. If something that you desire is not coming, it can only be that you are not allowing it to come because of the thoughts that you practice that are contrary to your own desire. Nothing else prohibits you from realizing every dream." So this is how the scripting process works. Pretend that you are a writer and that whatever you write will be performed exactly as you write it. Your only job is to describe, in detail, everything exactly as you want it to be. As you are having fun playing this game and are not taking it too seriously, any of your hindering beliefs are less likely to be activated. In other words, by pretending that your typewriter, word processor, computer, or notebook is magical, and that whatever you write can be realized, you accomplish the two things that are necessary in the achievement of anything. You focus the lens of your desire, and you offer no resistance. This process will help you be more specific about your desires, and with the greater clarity about exactly what you do desire, you will feel the power of this specific focus. The longer you concentrate on a subject and the more detail you give to it, the faster the energy moves. And with practice, you can actually feel the momentum of your desire. You can feel the universal forces converging. Often, you will be able to know when you are upon the brink of a breakthrough or a manifestation just by virtue of the way you feel. Because of the whimsical approach of this game, you are less likely to bring to your point of focus thoughts of doubt or disbelief. As you stay light and playful, you will be able to maintain a specific focus in the absence of resistance, and again, you will have achieved the perfect balance for the creation of anything. If you play the game often and enjoy it when you play it, you will begin to see amazing evidence of the power of the game. Things that you have written will begin to occur in your experience as if you are directing a play upon a stage, and when someone you are interacting with says words to you that you have scripted, you will be delighted as you recognize the power of your own intent. You are the vibrational writers of the script of your life, and everyone else in the universe is playing the part that you have assigned to them. You can literally script any life that you desire, and the universe will deliver to you the people, places, and events just as you decide them to be. For you are the creator of your own experience. You have only to decide it and allow it to be. Abraham, speak to us more about scripting. Scripting is one of those processes that we offer to assist you in telling the universe the way you want it to be. If you are already in vibrational harmony with your desire, you know it, because your desire is already a physical reality. But if there is something that you want that has not yet come to fruition, then scripting is a good way to speed it up. Scripting will help you break your habit of talking about things as they are and will help you begin talking about how you would like things to be. Scripting will help you offer your vibration deliberately. Script the plot you'd like to live. We would begin by identifying ourselves as the central character. Then we would identify the other main characters in the scenario, and then we would write the plot. It is most effective if you write it, especially in the beginning, because writing is your most powerful point of focus, but you do not have to keep writing it over and over again. One day a woman was practicing one of her scripts with us, and she said, "I see two people walking down the beach." We teased her by asking, "Well, are you one of them?" The point we were making was that the whole point of writing the script is to begin to feel life experiences in the way that you would like to live them. The purpose of this process is to practice the feeling of the life you would like to live. The universe does not know or care if what you are vibrating is in response to something that you are living or in response to something that you are imagining. In either case, the universe will deliver it to you. If you regurgitate your script often enough, you begin to accept it as reality. And when you are accepting it in the way you accept reality, the universe believes it and responds in the same way. Process number 10. The placemat process. When to use this process? When you want to more effectively utilize your universal manager? When you want to create your own reality more through the flowing of energy? When you want to create your own reality less through the offering of your own action? When you feel you have too much to do? When you want more time to do more things that bring you pleasure? Current emotional set point range. This placemat process will be of the most value to you when your emotional set point is ranging somewhere between 2, passion, and 11, overwhelmment. If you're not sure what your current emotional set point is, turn back to Chapter 22 and scan the 22 categories on the emotional guidance scale. As Jerry and Esther's life evolved and as their ideas and projects expanded, Esther began carrying a notebook that contained her list of things she needed to do. The list had evolved to several pages and was comically called Things to Do Today. Well, 10 people could not have accomplished this list in only one day. With each new entry to her list, Esther felt heavier and less free. Because of her desire to be of value and because of her willing nature, she had created a huge sense of responsibility, and her feeling of freedom was being crushed by the weight of it. Sitting in a restaurant and waiting for their meal to be delivered to the table, Esther pored through the pages of her list. Occasionally, she would cross off something already accomplished, and immediately, with each omission, she would think of 3 more things to add to the list. As a sense of hopelessness washed through her, she asked us, "Abraham, what should I do?" "Take this large paper placemat," we explained, "and we will guide you. Draw a line down the center of your placemat, and as a heading on the left side of the line, write, 'Things I will do today.' As a heading on the right side of the line, write, 'Things I would like the universe to do.' Now, looking over your long 'Things to Do Today' list, select only those things that you absolutely intend to do this day. Things you feel you must do. Things you really want to do. Select only those things that, no matter what, you intend to do today, and enter them on the left side of your placemat beneath the heading, 'Things I Will Do Today.' And now, enter all other tasks on the universe's side of your placemat." Esther looked over the list and chose a handful of things that she really did need to do this day, and she entered them on her side of the placemat. And then she began transferring her long list of remaining important things to the universe's side of the placemat. One by one, she transferred her tasks to the right side of the line, and as each task was transferred, she felt lighter. We explained to Esther that in order to achieve anything, she has only 2 things to accomplish. She must identify her object of desire, and then she must get out of the way of letting it happen. In other words, ask, and then find a way of achieving a vibration that allows it, because it is always given whenever you ask. As Esther had been poring over her long list of responsible tasks, she was certainly amplifying the asking part of the equation, but her confusion and feelings of overwhelmment were certain emotional indicators that she was not in the vibrational state of allowing in what she had been asking for. During the process of transferring these items to the universe's side of the placemat, her resistance began to soften, and her vibration began to lift. And while she did not realize it in the moment, her point of attraction had shifted, and she had begun, immediately, to allow the realization of her desires. What Esther experienced in the next few days left her feeling amazed. Not only was she able to easily accomplish her own short and manageable list, but the items on the universe's side of the placemat were accomplished too, but without requiring Esther's time, attention, or action. People she had been unable to reach by telephone called her. Employees on her staff felt inspired to assist in some way, and they would accomplish something that was on Esther's list and then report it to her after it was done without Esther's attention or request. Time seemed to stretch to allow more to be accomplished, and her timing with people and places and traffic improved dramatically. The placemat process caused Esther to focus her desires more specifically and, for the first time, to release her resistance regarding the same, for when you ask, it is always given. But you have to let it in. Abraham, speak to us more about the placemat process. Very often, whenever Esther and Jerry are having lunch, Esther gets a big piece of paper from her purse, and then they draw a line right down the middle of the paper. On the left side they write, "Things to do today, Jerry and Esther." On the right side of the paper they write, "Things to do, universe." On their side of the page they write the things they plan to take action on that day. On the other side, they write what they would like the universe to act upon. Esther has always been a big maker of lists. She often has about 10 days' work on her "Things to do today" list. And very often the list has served as an excuse to become overwhelmed. In other words, with so many things to do that she cannot possibly accomplish, the things to do list has sort of dragged her down. But what she is discovering now is that she only puts on her list what she really intends to do. And in that way, there is very little resistance, even with respect to the things she is going to do. And anything else that she wants to do, whether it's today, a year from today, or 10 years from today, she writes on the right side of the list and allows the universe to deal with it. As they left a restaurant one day, Jerry said, "Do you want to take that placemat with you?" And Esther replied, "This is the best part. There's no follow-up." She left the list on the table. She left it there for the universe to deal with. There is no follow-up, you see, not anything for her to drag around and hound herself about. And so, these are the sorts of things that you are doing there when you understand that there is this constant steady stream of well-being flowing to you. In the moment that you say, "I prefer," or "I like," or "I appreciate," or "I want," the heavens part for you, and the non-physical energies in that instant begin orchestrating the manifestation of your desire. In that instant. Faster than you can speak it, the energy begins to flow, and circumstances and events, in an orchestration that we cannot begin to describe, begin to fall into place in order to give you exactly what you want. And if it were not for your resistance, things would happen really fast. Are you clear about what you want? You do not have to keep telling the universe what you want. You only have to tell the universe once. But the advantage of continuing to talk about it is that you get clearer about it. Usually, you cannot clearly articulate everything you want with your first statement, so the more you talk about it, the more you fine-tune it. But as you say, "I want it," the universe begins manifesting it. And then when you say, "I would like it to be this way," the universe modifies it. You say, "And a little bit of this would be nice," and the universe, well, you see what we're getting at? And once you are clear about what you want, once you have zeroed in on it and you know what you want, it is on its way to you. It is done. The manifestation of it will probably follow later, however, because most often there is enough resistance that you will not receive it instantly. Process number 11. Segment intending. When to use this process? When you want your influence to dominate during a particular segment of your day. When you recognize the potential of something not going quite right and you want to make sure it goes the way you want. When time or money is especially important to you and you want to make the most of it. Current emotional set point range. This segment intending process will be of the most value to you when your emotional set point is ranging somewhere between 4, positive expectation, belief, and 11, overwhelmment. If you are not sure what your current emotional set point is, turn back to chapter 22, scan the 22 categories on the emotional guidance scale. It is easier to begin with a fresh, less powerful thought, and then focus upon it and cause it to expand, than to try to change an already expanded powerful thought. In other words, it is easier to create an improved future experience than it is to change a current existing experience. If you are experiencing a physical condition that has your attention, you are, through your attention to your current condition, projecting it onto your future experience. But by focusing on a different future experience, you are now activating that different experience. And as you project that changed experience into your future, you leave your current experience behind. That is the power of the process of segment intending. It is the process whereby you define the vibrational characteristics of the time segment you are moving into. It is a way of pre-paving your vibrational path, so to speak, for easier and more enjoyable travel. If you are in a bad mood, meaning there is considerable resistance in your vibrational frequency, then, because you do not have access to very different thoughts from where you currently are, you usually project that same vibrational expectation into the segment that you are moving into. For that reason, we encourage the application of segment intending when you are already feeling good. If you are feeling bad in this moment, try one of the other processes in order to improve your current mood and point of attraction. And then, once you are feeling better, you could return to this powerful segment intending process. This process will help you be more deliberate about focusing your thought. It will help you become more aware of where your thoughts currently are, and it will help you to be able to more deliberately choose the thoughts that you offer. In time, it will feel very natural to you to stop for a moment upon entering a new segment and direct your own intent or expectation. You enter a new segment any time your intentions change. If you are washing dishes and the telephone rings, you enter a new segment. When you get into your vehicle, you enter a new segment. When another person walks into the room, you enter a new segment. If you will take the time to get your thought of expectation started even before you are inside your new segment, you will be able to set the tone of the segment more specifically than if you walk into the segment and begin to observe it as it already is. For example, you're cooking dinner and are enjoying the rhythm and flow you have established. Everything is on schedule, and you expect everything to turn out just right. The telephone rings. You enter a new segment. You set forth the intention not to answer the telephone. You set forth the intention that your answering device can take the call, and you set forth the intention that you will return the call later when you have time. So the rhythm and flow of your meal preparation is not disrupted. Your segment changed slightly, but you maintained your balance, and all is well. Or the telephone rings, you enter a new segment. You remember that you've been expecting an important call, and you do not want to miss it. You set your intentions for the segment to be efficient and brief, and to gather the information quickly and politely. And because of the positive flow you already have going, your positive expectation dovetails into that perfectly. So you have prepared the conversation, even before you pick up the telephone, to comply with your good-feeling intentions. You are actually pre-paving your future experiences constantly without even knowing you are doing so. You are continually projecting your expectations into your future experiences, and this segment intending process helps you to consciously consider what you are projecting, and it gives you control of your future segments. You can pre-pave future experiences that are immediate or experiences that are in your more distant future. And once you have an opportunity to see how your deliberate thought positively impacts your experiences, you will want to do it even more. And like all processes, the more you apply it, the more skilled you become and the more fun it is, and the more effective your results will be. If the new segment includes something that you have never enjoyed doing, segment intending is not the best process to apply. Of course, it is better than no deliberate intention at all, but when you have an opportunity, it would be of value to apply one of the more heavy-duty processes, processes number 13 to number 22, to this project. For example, you're going to visit your mother-in-law, who you believe has never liked you, or you are on your way to work in a two-person office with someone who annoys you in many ways. Whenever you are setting forth your intentions about how you want to feel and how you would like the segment to unfold, it is always beneficial if, when you find yourself struggling for a positive scenario, that you do not continue the process. Change the subject in your mind, think about something pleasant, and apply another process later. Abraham, speak to us more about segment intending. You are living in a highly technological society where you have access to stimulation of thought from all around your world. You benefit from all this, for it provides you an opportunity for much growth, but you also experience some disadvantages from the stimulation of thought, and the disadvantage comes forth in the form of confusion. For while your ability to focus on a more narrow subject brings forth clarity, your ability to focus upon many things at once brings confusion. You are receptive beings. Your thought processes are very fast, and as you are considering any one subject, you have the ability, by the power of the law of attraction, to bring forth more and more clarity upon the subject until you can accomplish anything regarding it. But because of the availability of so much stimulation of thought, very few of you remain focused upon anything long enough to take it forward very far. Most of you are so distracted by so much thought that you do not have an opportunity to develop any one thought to any great degree. Here is the key to your deliberate creation. The point of the segment intending process is to clearly identify what you want so that you can deliberately begin to set forth the attraction of that which you want. Here is the key to your deliberate creation. See yourself as a magnet, attracting unto you the way you feel at any point in time. When you feel clear and in control, you will attract circumstances of clarity. When you feel happy, you will attract circumstances of happiness. When you feel healthy, you will attract circumstances of health. When you feel prosperous, you will attract circumstances of prosperity. When you feel loved, you will attract circumstances of love. The way you feel is actually your point of attraction. And so, the value of the segment intending process is to encourage you to pause many times during the day to say, "This is what I want from this period of my life experience. I want it, and I expect it." And as you set forth those powerful words, you become what we call a selective sifter. You attract into your experience what you want. However, the reason why segments are so effective is because although there are many things you want to consider, when you try to consider them all at the same time, you become overwhelmed and confused. The value of your intending, segment by segment, is that you do not try to chew on so much at any one time. You say, "What is it that I want now?" If you want many things all at the same time, it adds confusion. But when you only focus upon the specifics of what you want in any particular moment, you bring clarity and power to your creation, and therefore, speed. And that is the point of segment intending. To stop as you are entering a new segment, and to identify what it is you want most so that you may give your attention to, and therefore draw power unto, that. Some of you are focused during some segments of your day's experience, but there are very few of you who are focused much of your day, and so an identification of segments and an intent to identify what is most important within those segments will put you in the position of being a deliberate magnetic attractor or creator in each of your segments throughout your day. Not only will you find that you are more productive, but you will find that you are happier, for as you are deliberately intending and then allowing and receiving, you will find great contentment. You are growth-seeking beings, and as you are moving forward, you are at your happiest. When you are having a feeling of stagnation, you are not at your happiest. an example of a segment intending day. We would like to guide you through an example of a day where you may be deliberately intending as you are recognizing that you are moving into new segments. Let us say that you have decided to apply this process before going to bed at the end of the day, and you recognize that entering into a sleep state will be a new segment of life experience. And so, as you are lying there on the pillow, getting ready to sleep, set forth the intention of refreshing your physical apparatus and imagine yourself awakening the next day feeling refreshed. As you open your eyes in the morning, recognize that you have now entered into a new segment of life experience, and from the time you remain in bed until the time you remove yourself from it is a segment. Set forth your intent for that time. While I'm lying here, I'm intending to have a clear picture of this day. I'm intending to become exhilarated and excited about this day. And then, as you are lying there, you will begin to feel that refreshment and exuberance about the upcoming day. As you get out of bed, you have now entered into a new segment of life experience. This may be the segment that you are preparing yourself for that day. And so, as you are brushing your teeth or taking your bath, or doing whatever it is you do in the segment, let your intent be to do it efficiently, to enjoy yourself, to have it be an uplifting time that prepares you for the day. As you are preparing breakfast, let your intent be to do it efficiently, and to select that which is most nutritionally balanced for your physical apparatus at this point in time. Let your intent be that you will be replenished or refreshed by it, and that you will enjoy it. And as you set forth this intention, you will notice that as you are eating, you are feeling more rejuvenated, more replenished, and more refreshed, and you will enjoy the food more than if you had not set forth that intent to do so. As the telephone rings, recognize that you are now about to enter a new segment, and as you pick up the phone, identify who it is, and then clearly set forth your intent before you begin speaking. As you get into your vehicle, or as you are traveling to your place of work, or wherever it is you're going, let your intent be to travel from one place to another in safety, to feel invigorated and happy as you are moving forth, to be aware of what the other drivers are intending or not intending, so that you may move through traffic in a sort of flow, safely and efficiently. When you get out of your vehicle, you have now entered into a new segment. And so, pause for a moment and imagine yourself walking from where you are to where you are intending to go, seeing yourself feeling good as you walk, intending that you will move efficiently and safely from point to point, intending to feel the vitality of your apparatus, intending to feel the clarity of your thinking mechanism, and setting forth your vision or your intention for the next segment in which you are about to enter. Imagine greeting the secretary, the employees, or the employer. Imagine seeing yourself as one who uplifts others, having a smile ready, recognizing that everyone you meet is not deliberate in their intending, but knowing that by your deliberate intending, you will be in control of your life experience, and you will not be swept up by their confusion, their intent, or their influence. Of course, your segments will not be just as we have offered, and they will not be the same from day to day. In the beginning, you will find that you are not so quick to identify your segments as you will be after you have done it for a while. For some, you may find it more efficient and effective to carry a small notebook and physically stop and identify the segment while you write a list of your intentions in your notebook. For as you are writing, you will find yourself at your strongest point of clarity and at your strongest point of focus. And so, in the beginning of this deliberate segment intending, you may find the notebook a very great and valuable asset. As you are moving through such a day, you will feel the power and the momentum of your intentions building. You will find yourself feeling gloriously invincible. You will feel as if there is nothing that you cannot be, do, or have as you are seeing yourself again and again in creative control of your own life experience. Process number 12. Wouldn't it be nice if... When to use this process? When you find yourself leaning toward the negative and therefore offering resistance and you want to turn it around to something more positive. When you are already feeling good and you want to focus more specifically on certain areas of your life to make them even better. When you want to gently guide a negative or potentially negative conversation to a more positive place for your benefit or to gently guide someone else. Current emotional set point range. This "wouldn't it be nice if" process will be of the most value to you when your emotional set point is ranging somewhere between 4, positive expectation, belief, and 16, discouragement. If you are not sure what your current emotional set point is, turn back to Chapter 22 and scan the 22 categories on the Emotional Guidance Scale. When you say, "I want this thing to happen that hasn't happened yet," you are not only activating the vibration of your desire, but you are also activating a vibration of the absence of your desire. So nothing changes for you. And often, even when you do not speak the second part of the sentence and you say only, "I want this to happen," there is an unspoken vibration within you that continues to hold you in a state of not allowing your desire. But when you say, "Wouldn't it be nice if this desire would come to me?" you achieve a different sort of expectation that is much less resistant in nature. Your question to yourself naturally elicits from you a more positive, expectant response. And so this simple but powerful game will cause a rising of your vibration and an improvement in your point of attraction because it naturally orients you toward the things that you want. The "wouldn't it be nice if" process will help you let in the things that you have been asking for on all subjects. "Wouldn't it be nice if we had the best time we ever had with these friends? Wouldn't it be nice if the traffic is light and we have a wonderful trip? Wouldn't it be nice if I had a really productive day at work?" Or the subject may be to find a wonderful new relationship. For instance, "Wouldn't it be nice if I find the most spectacular partner who adores me in the same way that I adore him? Wouldn't it be nice if I find someone and we waltz off into the sunset together? Wouldn't it be nice if there's someone out there who's looking for somebody just like me?" The reason the "wouldn't it be nice if" game is so important and so powerful is because when you say, "Wouldn't it be nice if," you are choosing something that you want, and you're being soft and easy about it. In other words, it is not the end of the world. It is a much softer vibration. For example, let us say you want to reduce your body weight. Here is a "wouldn't it be nice if" example for you. "Wouldn't it be nice if I stumbled onto something that really worked for me? Wouldn't it be nice if my metabolism began to cooperate with me a little more? Wouldn't it be nice if the desires that I've been holding on for a long time sort of came to a peak, like a guiding light? Wouldn't it be nice if I could meet someone who's just run across something that really worked for them, which would light a fire in me? Wouldn't it be nice if I could reclaim the body weight I had when I was such and such an age? Wouldn't it be nice if I looked like I did in this picture?" Your logic would tell you, "Hey, I've been at this for a long time. If I knew how to do it, or if I was good at it, I'd have already gotten it done." So you are contradicting your own desire. And so you would hold yourself in that vibration. However, when you are playing the "wouldn't it be nice if," much of that vibration is diffused. "Wouldn't it be nice if my physical body came into alignment with my dream? Wouldn't it be nice if I discovered this to be much easier than it's ever been before? Wouldn't it be nice if I came into energy alignment and everything around me came into vibrational harmony with that? Wouldn't it be nice if the cells of my body cooperate with the mental picture that I'm holding? Wouldn't it be nice if I could feel ease about my body? Wouldn't it be nice if my physical body began responding differently to food? Wouldn't it be nice if I began feeling a greater inspiration to exercise? Wouldn't it be nice if the food-burning characteristics of my body kicked into high gear and this process turned into an easy, almost effortless scenario? Wouldn't it be nice if my ideas about food came into alignment so that I find myself taking such pleasure from foods that are really in vibrational harmony with what my body wants and needs?" By softly playing this game, what happens is that you hold yourself in this place of alignment. The other thing you could do is get off that subject altogether and never think about it again. But that is a difficult thing to do, because your body sort of goes everywhere you go. In other words, it is hard to get that off your mind. So, since it's hard to get it off your mind, you almost have to force yourself to choose pleasant, "wouldn't it be nice if" thoughts. One more thing. Do not expect instant results. Know that it is coming into being in its perfect time. In other words, you have been encouraging, through your thought and behavior, a cellular community, a large part of which you are about to extinguish. And so there is some cellular cooperation that is going to take place, and all cells are willing to cooperate. They are not sacrificing, they are not holding little cellular funerals in advance. So there is no mourning going on, as is, "Ah, she's going to kill 25% of us." What is happening is a sort of collective alignment. Your cells are getting ready, you see, and in that preparation and in that readiness, all kinds of things are beginning to come into alignment, things that you could not orchestrate even if you tried. Your body knows what to do. Your body has come into active agreement and alignment with all of this. So, as you play the gentle, wouldn't it be nice if, game, leave the rest of your physical apparatus to the cellular knowing, which means that it is not your job to be the food police. It is not your job to be the exercise police any more than it is your job to decide what cell has to go. Whatever the subject of your desire, there is an orchestration that is being taken care of in response to the wouldn't it be nice if game that you are playing. So, whenever you play this game and you trust that everything else will come into alignment, it will. Process number 13. Which thought feels better? When to use this process? When you want to be consciously aware of how you really feel about something right now. When you are faced with a decision and you want to go in the best direction possible. When you want to determine your current emotional set point. When you want to become consciously aware of your emotional guidance system. Current emotional set point range. This process of which thought feels better will be of the most value to you when your emotional set point is ranging somewhere between 4, positive expectation, belief, and 17, anger. If you are not sure what your current emotional set point is, turn back to chapter 22 and scan the 22 categories on the emotional guidance scale. Every subject is really two subjects, something that you desire and the absence of something that you desire. If you do not understand that these are very different vibrational frequencies, then you may believe that you are focused on something that you desire, when you may, in fact, be focused in the opposite direction. Some believe that they're focused upon the subject of a healthy body, when, instead, they're focused on the fear of a sick body. Some believe that they're thinking about improving their financial situation, when, instead, they're focused on not having enough money. But because the subject is money or health, they believe that any time they are focused upon the subject, they are thinking about what they want. And often that is not the case. Often people say, "I've wanted this for as long as I can remember. Why hasn't it happened yet?" Because they were not aware that every subject is really two subjects, what is wanted and the lack of it. For example, they thought that because they were talking about money, they were talking about what they wanted, when instead, they were focused on the opposite of what they wanted. Only when you are sensitive to the way you feel do you really know what your vibrational content is. But with some practice, you will become very adept at always knowing exactly where you are focused. The which thought feels better process will help you consciously identify the vibrational frequency of your current thought. The game is most effectively played when you are alone because no one else can really know or understand which thoughts feel best to you. Often, when you are interacting with others, you may be confused about whether the thought actually feels better to you, or whether you are offering it because you think it is the choice someone else would want you to make. It is important to leave everyone else's ideas, desires, opinions, and beliefs aside while you identify, for yourself, how you feel. When would you play this game? There are limitless possibilities of thoughts that you might think on limitless subjects, but your own life experience and the contrast that you are living will help you identify the subjects on which you may want to focus. This game is especially helpful when something has occurred in your own experience that causes a noticeable amount of negative emotion. Understanding that negative emotion is an indicator of resistance, and further understanding that this resistance is the only thing that holds you apart from the things you really want, you may have decided to do something about releasing some resistance on this newly energized subject. Which thought feels better? Game example. This process works best if you can sit for a few minutes and write your thoughts on paper. In time, when you have played the game sufficiently, you will find success with it just by rolling the thoughts across your mind. But writing them down onto paper causes a much more powerful point of focus, which makes it easier for you to feel the direction of your chosen thought. To begin, first, write a brief statement of how you feel about the subject right now. You could describe what has happened, but what is most important is that you describe how you feel. Next, write another statement that amplifies exactly how you feel. This helps you more easily recognize any improvement as you move through the process. For example, you've just had an argument with your daughter because she makes no effort to help around the house. She does not even take care of her personal things, and her own room is a terrible mess. She seems to hold no regard for the effort you are making to maintain an orderly environment. Not only does she not try to help, but it seems that she deliberately tries to hinder you. So you write, "She," or write your daughter's name, "is deliberately trying to make my life difficult. She doesn't care about me at all. She doesn't even come close to doing her share of the work." Once you have made a few statements that indicate how you really feel right now, make this statement to yourself. "I'm going to reach for some thoughts about this subject that feel a little better." Now, once you have written each thought, evaluate whether it feels better, the same, or worse than when you initially began. So you write, "She never listens to me." Same. "I want her to be more responsible." Same. "I shouldn't have to pick up after her." Same. "I should have taught her better." Worse. "I wish her father would support me more." Worse. "A clean house is important to me." Slightly better. "I know she has a lot on her mind." Better. "I remember what it's like to be a teenager." Better. "I remember when she was a sweet little girl." Better. "I wish she were still that sweet little girl." Worse. "I don't know what to do about this." Worse. "Well, I don't have to figure it out all today." Better. "There are so many things about her that I adore." Better. "I know there is more to life than a clean house." Better. "It should be okay that I want a clean house." Worse. "It's all right that I want my house to be clean." Better. "It's fine that she doesn't care about that now." Better. Remember that there are no right and wrong answers here, and no one else can really know which of your thoughts bring better or worse feelings to you. The value of this process is that you will become aware of how your thoughts feel, and you will become more adept at choosing better feeling thoughts. Many would ask, "But what good would it be to feel better about my daughter's sloppy habits? My thoughts won't change her behavior." We want to say to you that your thoughts change the behavior of everyone and everything who has anything to do with you, for your thoughts absolutely equal your point of attraction. And the better you feel, the more that everything and everyone around you improves. In the moment that you find an improved feeling, conditions and circumstances change to match your feeling. The "Which Thoughts Feel Better" game will help you to begin to realize the power that your own thoughts have to influence everything around you. Abraham, speak to us more about the process of "Which Thought Feels Better." "Will I ever stop reaching for something better?" "No. And when you take the limitations of time or dollars out of the equation, and you trust that the universe will conspire to satisfy every idea that you conjure up, then you let your ideas rip. But as long as you feel limitations, then you keep trying to rein them in, and rein them in, and rein them in. Perhaps you may say, "Well, our current circumstances really don't allow us the money to do all the stuff that we want to do. We want to remodel our kitchen, and our decisions about not going into great debt about it are very clear decisions that we don't want to violate. So what do we do with these exploding ideas?" And we say, "Does every one of them have to manifest right now? Or can you begin to take pleasure from the idea itself? Can you say, 'Well, if not right now, then soon we will do this and this and this,' and so you can begin to take pleasure from the growing of that idea. But when you put yourself on a schedule where there is a deadline, then very often the shortage of time or money looms up and contradicts the energy, making you miserable. It also makes you wish that you had never broached the idea to begin with. But then you can say, 'There's a lifetime of kitchens before us. And for now, we are most pleased with the manifestation of this and what ideas we are conjuring for the future. Then, one day, you might move into a new home, shocked that it already has all the things within it that you've been conjuring, and it will come when you have enough money, you have enough time. In other words, the universe will line it up in response to the ideas that you are giving birth to and freely letting flow. There is no right or wrong in this. A good way to approach all this is, if the desire feels good to you, everything is going great. If the desire is uncomfortable, it means that you have a desire that is raging out there ahead of your belief. But then you can soothe that by saying, we don't have to do it right this red-hot minute. We'll just hold this as a future idea. We're not going to shut the idea down because we know it's a good one. It's not a perfect match for where we are right now, but someday that will be a part of it. For now, this is quite satisfying. Which thought feels better? To have it right now and to go into debt? Or to say, oh, this is something that we have to look forward to? Jerry and Esther go through this all the time because Esther wants everything, and she wants it right now. And there is no earthly reason why she should not have it right now except that she is married to a saver. He is not afraid that he will run out of money. He is afraid that he will run out of ideas. In other words, he does not want to eat up the ideas too fast. He wants to milk each one for everything he can get out of it. And Esther just wants to skip across the top. Esther eats the point of the pie first, while Jerry saves it till the last bite. But Esther worries that by the time she gets to the last bite, she will not want it anymore. So she eats it first. So both Esther and Jerry find their own way. There is no right or wrong formula there. We would say to Jerry that he will never run out of ideas, so he can skip across the top of them if he wants. And then he would say to us, but I love getting my doing into the evolvement of it. The more intimately involved I am in my creations, the more satisfaction I'm receiving from them. So we say, then that is the right way for you. There is no right or wrong in this. Which feels better? Which thought feels better? To go into debt or to wait until later? To wait until later. Which thought feels better? To say that you have settled for less or to say that this is part of your future experience? To say that this is part of my future experience. Which thought feels better? To be mad at yourself that your kitchen is not as modern as it can be, or to acknowledge that it is a perfect kitchen for now, and that it will always be growing, just like you will always be growing. Which thought?